When a year is ending like this, there is a secret. You're making sure that you exit it well and put yourself in the right position in, for the coming year. And that secret is the art of thanksgiving. The only thing in my heart, the only thing when I think about anything, whether the only thing in my heart is gratitude.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto his name, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Okay. Can you guys join me to read verse 4? Move back. Everybody want to go? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Okay. God's house, God's presence has three dimensions. We all know that. If you don't, you need to know that there are three dimensions and each one has a gate. Okay. One time Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Those are the names of those three gates. That's actually what they call them in Hebrew. That's what the Jews call them. The way, the truth, and the life. Because the outer court, the gate to the outer court is the way. The one to the holy place is the truth. The one to the holiest of all is the life. But even if you don't use those three times. So what he was saying in essence, I'm the three entrances to God's presence. But even if you don't use it, you need to know that there are three dimensions and there are three gates. So you enter the gate into the outer court with thanksgiving. Then you move to the courts, God's courts, the holy place, with praise. Then you move to the holiest of all with worship. Here he mentioned two and left out the third. But then later David dealt with that. Now, when you read the Psalms of David, many of them are focusing on thanksgiving. Many others are prayer psalms that are used to make requests. Either he was asking God for deliverance, asking God to help him defeat his enemies, asking God for this. But then you notice that many of the other ones are psalms of thanksgiving. Last time, I don't know whether it was Lagos, I brought the other translation of this, which was the Message translation. Put it up, let them see. Everybody, can we read one to go? Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home, talking praise. Thank him and worship him. So the only person that is locked out is the one that comes with ingratitude. The only person that is locked out of God's presence, is the one that comes with ingratitude. I know that today you had Thanksgiving this morning. I'm aware of that. In Abuja, we also had today. So I'm aware of that. I know you have already. But I'm not talking about your Thanksgiving service. I'm talking about 2020 and beyond. So I'm not discussing your Thanksgiving service. Neither am I holding a Thanksgiving service. I'm discussing 2020 and beyond. Because this year that is ending is closing a decade and we are entering another decade. It's a 10-year period we are opening with this new year. So you don't need to make any mistake about this crossover of this year. You cannot. if you have listened to our tapes about having dominion over the gates of time, if you mismanage that whatever, you are creating a problem for 10 years. Don't do that. Don't do that. So I'm aware that you have had Thanksgiving service and maybe whatever, you know. So it's not a problem. I'm talking about 2020 and beyond. So when it comes to subject of breakthroughs and what, how to position your life or how to change your destiny or solve problems in your life, there are a number of elements in scriptures. For example, your prayer, your fasting. These are subjects. But this subject of thanksgiving is one of the most powerful in the whole scripture. Without it, prayer falls short and it doesn't deliver. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Start from verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word means stop worrying about anything. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer, supplication with what? So that's the one people tend to remove, but they do the upper one. They lambast God with a lot of requests. Then they remove thanksgiving. When there is a worry, when there is a concern, when there is a problem, when there is something that you should be worried about, the scripture said, instead of worrying, because worrying does not solve problems, take the case to God, but the way you do it is with prayer and supplication, which are two different types of prayer anyway, they're all prayers. Then at thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Whenever you add thanksgiving, then something happens. The verse 7 now says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will come and protect your heart. So you are not worrying why God is working. Because faith is learning to rest in that everlasting arm. You've put something in the hand of God, leave him and let him walk. If there's a part for you to do, go ahead and do it with confidence. Don't do it. Out of anxiety, out of fear, do it out of faith. There is a 1 Peter 5 that talks about this worrying thing. Because some people, that is their own addiction. They are not addicted to cocaine or to some other evil, but their own is worry addiction. Even if they finish praying, they will collect all the things they handed over to God, put back in their head, and are worried. And that's why they are growing gray hair, aging, and stressing them out, breaking down, because they won't let God do. God said, don't worry, transfer that thing that you should be worrying about to me. But do it with the attitude of thanksgiving. You see how he said it there? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If the governor of Lagos State, you have access to him, His Excellency, and then you're worrying about how to pay your bills. You're worrying about children's school fees. And he said, calculate all of them. You calculate. He said, how much is that? He said, everything. Both your rent and your fees. About 2 million. It's okay. push the headache to me. Stop worrying. Go home. Let peace rest in your heart. Two things about promises. Two things about the man that makes the promises. One, does he have the capacity to keep it? Does he have enough resources? Hello? If I give you a check of 2 million, will you have confidence?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Why?
Because you have the capacity to give me...
I don't know whether you know me or not. Some of you are looking at me. If I give you 10 million check, will you have confidence to go with
it? Yes, sir.
Why? Why will you...
Because I believe you have up to 10 million.
You believe I have the capacity? But you have not been to my bank. How did you just...
I have that. I don't believe.
Okay. How we do? If Dangote gives you a check, 10 million, will you be worrying? Can this kid check cash?
I wouldn't be worried at all.
Why wouldn't you worry?
Because I know he has it.
But you've not been to his bank account.
Based on what I'm seeing, I know he has it.
Don't you know that people's reputation go ahead of them? Wow. I don't have to reach your bank account. Eh? Moses was pastoring 3 million people and they were in the bush. No supermarket, no market, no shops, no nothing. And the people were complaining about meat. They've been eating manna. Manna is bread. They bake it from heaven and rain it down. They've been eating, yeah. When you eat loaves, somewhere they got it. They said, this diet needs addition. We need meat. We need some chicken. Now, God was very angry with the people. Very angry. His anger is not that they asked him for meat. His anger is that they came with murmuring and complaining and comparing themselves when they were in Egypt. How that their life was better when they were in bondage or slaves. The man just brought them out of slavery. They have been thanking him for it. All of a sudden, because they need me, they've forgotten everything. What gets God angry is murmuring. What gets God very angry is complaining. People like that will be very far. Even the outer court, they can't enter. Because that gate has one password. That password is what? Thanksgiving. So they stay out there. The devil is playing football with them, with their lives. That gate has only one password. You want the key into God's heart. Thanksgiving. So, one day I was telling the Lord, I said, this Thanksgiving subject and the ability, the way it locks people out who don't come along with it. I said, maybe, can that part be adjusted? He said, what about you? I made you in my image. Do you like people who are always complaining around you? Complaining all the time. No matter what you do, they always complain. And next time they have another headache, complain. Do you like such people? I said, I don't even want them around me. I have enough headache. I don't. Do you know what the Bible said? It's better to dwell in the corner of a forest than to be in the same house with a nagging woman. That's what is killing many of your relationships. That's what is responsible why some of you are not enjoying marriage. And if you are a nagger in relationships or in marriage, repent. Because you will keep living in hellfire in the midst of paradise. It's better for a man, put it up, let them see, to dwell the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman. That's a nagging, a complaining woman in a wide house. So there is a palace, there is a mansion. Instead of living there with this kind of woman, go and live on top of the roof where rain and sunshine will be beating you very heavily. Now give the other one that said, better to dwell in the corner of a forest. The wilderness. It's recorded twice. Show them that one. Now, it's better to go and live on top of the roof. Rain beat you. Because a house is supposed to give you cover. Rain will beat you. Sun will beat you. Than to be inside a very big mansion, a house. Because the person you are living with is a murmur and a complainer, a nagging woman. This is God. God said, because the number one thing a woman is supposed to give her husband is peace of mind. Then he will always want to come home. But now you turn the house to a rack for him. So you drive him into the hand of some other woman. You might be the pretty one. That one might not have much, but that one gives him peace. That's where he will be going. So you are the one that is such a big guy, so talented, but God doesn't like crossing your house. God prefers some. Do you know why he made David a man after his heart? Right in the bush, he was a shepherd boy. Shepherd boy. But he learned the art of worship, the art of praise, the art of thanksgiving. Right in the bush, he said, I found David myself. What attracted you? You came to a bush to find a shepherd boy and left the king. When Saul finished annoying him, he just said, I found me a man better than you, a man after my heart. And that worshiper is who he promoted to be a king. I decree that worship, thanksgiving is going to take you to the throne. Amen. I say it's going to take you to the throne. Amen. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome son and a nagging wife. That is running around disturbing pastors. Stop disturbing pastors. You are the one destroying your home. Men are like babies. At least about 90% of men are like that. 90. There is just this, they said one group. They have this virus in their head. That one. You find a woman that knows how to give that one peace. You can also control that one. They ask the Italian men, what is this? You know, there's a tribe in Nigeria that exports human resources to Italy. And it's the female kind that exports. In that tribe, sometimes families get together and sell their land to export a daughter over. It's not a joke, oh. CNN, oh, to interview Italian men. What is this thing about these Nigerian girls? And you know, from prostitutes, they marry some of them, oh. They knew they were prostitutes. They used to carry them. Now they have married them. We're interviewing them. Why? Why are you following these black women, black girls, and now ending up marrying them and giving them will? From whatever, you give them citizenship by marrying them. What is it? He said, they give us peace. He said, it's not just the sex. So this girl know how to take up. And that's why some of you, in this Lagos, we hustle. Hustlers everywhere. Prostitution is now organized. They tell you they are working in VI. But meanwhile, VI is half-time job. Prostitution is the full-time job. Some are in their 50s, going after young boys. You want to lose your husband? You that should look after what God gave you. You are the one that is... Bind that demon that is always on your emotion, making you irritable, making you complainer, making you whatever. The way into a man's heart is gratitude, just like the way into God's heart. Hello. There is a secret about those three arts, and for guys too. Everybody, male, female, now the same thing. If the lady is helping to pay school fees, you must learn to also say, thank you. paying children, whatever. She can be the one bringing 90% of the money, but when she brings it, she puts it at your feet. But learn to say, why is this so hard for many? Why? Let's discuss that a little. I'm not fooled by the fact that you did Thanksgiving in the morning. No, I'm not fooled by that. Some of you just went there and dropped one offering on the altar. Some people did Thanksgiving today. Some did have done Thanksgiving. I'm not fooled. Because ingratitude is a disease. It's a problem. When the Lord was sending me into the ministry, he said, there is a problem we have, or you need to be aware of it. He said, we in the Trinity, we have that problem. We have that problem. And we've been dealing with it since the creation of man. You need to be aware of it. Since the fall of man, you need to be aware of it. I said, what is that? He said, it's ingratitude. He said, the people that will come back to say thank you is in the ratio of 1:10. 1:10. It's 1 out of every 10. Is that 1:9 or 1:10? 1 out of every 10 that will come back to say thank you. So he said, so have that in your mind. As you do minister and impact life, don't expect any thank you. But there will be thank yous. But it's just 1 out of 10. Luke chapter 17, from verse 11. You know the 10 leper story? You remember that story? Yeah. The 10 leper story. And he went out. They were crying out. 10 lepers saw him. They cried out, have mercy upon us. So look at what he said to them. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, what happened? They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and did what? And glorified God. And then verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was what? A Samaritan. It shocks me. And the Lord said that to me too. He says, sometimes it is the ones that are still new in the kingdom. It is the unbelievers that even show more appreciation, and it's this one that pretend that are close to me that have this problem of ingratitude the most. He says sometimes even ministers of the gospel. Don't fool me that you are out there dressed as pastor. It doesn't mean anything to me. Doesn't mean anything. Some of the most stingy people are pastors. Some of the most ungrateful people are pastors. And you see it, it tells on their lives. I wish answering a pastor is a passport to heaven. When you have that problem, it's an attitude problem. It follows you into anything you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, men of the cloth or men of God, you remember that when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, the first two people he brought up in that story, first one that saw that man wounded and passed was a priest. The second one that saw that man and passed was a Levite. Guess who saw that man and stopped? A Samaritan again. The one you call unbelievers, the one you call outsiders, the one you call a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. Jesus, the scripture put it to let you know. And then, and God does not care. He will carry his favor and bestow on the man. It doesn't matter whether he was an unbeliever or not. I see them, even sometimes musicians. You see them, they sing. You expect this one to be the child of hell. But he wins a award. He goes to church. And he comes there, he comes with gifts and says, thank you, Lord. The believer that has enjoyed promotion, nothing. Anybody that is stingy with gratitude is stingy indeed. Your own stinginess has crossed every known boundary. In verse 17, and Jesus said, were there not 10 healed? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Everybody ask that question. Help me ask your friend. Ask him, were there not 10 promoted this year? Where are the 9? Were there not 10 healed this year? Where are the 9? Were there not 10 that God answered their prayers? Where are the 9? It doesn't mean only 10. That's the ratio. The ratio of gratitude to the demands. Help me express it in ratio. It's 1 out of 10. Is that 1 is to 9 or 1 is to 10? 1 is to 9. They are not sure again. Some say 10, some say 9. Which one is the correct one in mathematics? 1 is to 9, 1 is to 10. Who is correct? Take whichever one is correct in your head. But it won't be too far from the truth. At least it will be near it. It's 1 out of 10. You know, a guy told the story. He had a vision, but, you know, I don't know whether God showed it to him as a parabolic information or whether it's the actual whatever. But he told the story. You get to heaven, there are 3 major departments of angels. You remember when Jacob saw the ladder? Angels were ascending and then they were descending. Now, the department that is always ascending is the department of prayer. What they do is to come to earth. They are collecting requests from people, problems. So that department that processes human requests and problems, they don't rest day and night. There is no traffic. Then on the Jacob's ladder, that's Genesis 28, there's also those ones descending. That's the department of answered prayer. These ones collect the prayer. These ones are the ones that are sent to go and intervene. They don't rest day and night. There is no break, no holidays for them. Because that's how people are disturbing God. That's how God is intervening. Then you get to the department of gratitude where they collect thanksgiving. All the angels are busy snoring. So that you see one or two that are awake because there is nothing coming. It's once, because it's the ratio of 10 is to 1. Once in a while, somebody. There's always a David. There's always that man. And I have checked. The Lord has also helped me understand. That's why he likes me. That's one of the reasons. I'm not better than many people. Yeah, yeah. God likes me, I know. You don't need to tell me that. Because what you say doesn't mean is what he says that counts. I know what he tells me. I know how he addresses me. And I've wondered after I now found that there are beatitudes that attract people to God. Jesus taught some of them in Matthew chapter 5. One of those attitudes to become is the attitude of gratitude. The year is ending like this. The people who want to position themselves for the future. How you exit a year matters. The Jews were told, Deuteronomy 16:16, 3 times in a year, all your men shall appear before me. None of them shall appear empty-handed. As somebody who has a close walk with God, 2 of those seasons are very critical for me. I don't play with them. The third one is the middle of the year, June, is the period of Pentecost. But the first one is the time of Passover, that's Easter, when we come to thank God for the death and resurrection of Christ, for our redemption. The Jews go to remember, celebrate Passover. they remember how God brought them out of Egypt, delivered them from bondage through the blood of the Lamb. For us is how he saved us, redeemed us. And there's so many things that come along with redemption. That is that. He said this three times, everybody will come. Nobody should come empty-handed. Nobody. Nobody should try it. If you like be poor, you shouldn't come empty-handed. Because that's how you can exit poverty. The ones I don't play with is that one of Passover, the Easter period. You can't find me come around Easter since the revelation of the cross dawned on me. Come around that period without a major sacrifice on the altar. Never. The other one is end of the year. It's called Tabernacles. The Jews celebrate it around October, and it's a season that goes all the way to December. You see, sometimes even starts from September. This Ember month is a time of harvest. That time is close of the year. It's time to bring gratitude. Actually, here we close the year exactly 31st December. But the truth is that in the Jewish calendar, they are already in their 2020. I don't want to get into much of that, but they're already there because around October, they cross into the new year, usually 3 months ahead of the rest of the world. That calendar they use is the calendar that is governing the earth. The banking new year starts that period. Academic new year, that's when you get admission, starts that period. New academic year for your secondary school kids, that's when it starts. The new banking year, that's when it starts. The United Nations does their General Assembly, start their new year, that period. All the major aspects of career. You also see the Muslims do their Ramadan, and that's when they begin their new cycle. All the other, it's only us that are a little out of touch, but it's not a problem. You are in it. Whether the year ends 31st, this is that period of harvest. Harvests. So some churches do bazaar, do Thanksgiving, do what. But it's a culture that we should all have. Even if your church refuses to hold Thanksgiving service, that once you get to this period between October and December, it's time to come and bring major Thanksgiving before God for the year. Then you open up a new check, a new season of favor between you and God in the coming year. That's what these things. How do you do Thanksgiving? It's done in three dimensions. First, with your heart. Second, with your mouth. Third, with your hands. With your heart, you come with gratitude. Heart that is filled with joy, that is filled with gratefulness before God. Because there's something about God, it's not like us, who only looks at what you're saying. I hear your words, I don't know what you're thinking. The difference with God is that your thoughts are louder than your voice in his ear. So he knows God, like when the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful is grateful giver, thankful giver. Somebody that is doing something with gladness out of appreciation. So the attitude matters to God because he can see it. I hope you know the difference between having the right attitude and not having it. For example, you can tell a child, you know, like in the class, teachers want to stand up there. The guy stands up, but inside he's sitting down. He's defiant. He's taking the action, but he's not submitting. Like your boss, they give you one query. Inside, you are very defiant, but you have to do it because of your job. So the difference with God is that when you do such a thing with God, he takes it that you are completely rebellious. But when the heart is grateful and is filled with joy, that's why those psalms always talk about come before him with singing, come before him with joy, come before him with dancing. Then the second one is your words. You express that thing you feel in your heart the best you know how. In songs or in words or in grateful heart. You express what is going on in your heart with your words. It's like loving a woman. You might really love her, but she doesn't know that until you tell her. A lady was wedding, and they've set the date for the wedding. It's going to be on Saturday. And this guy, they were the best of friends. They went through school and all that. The guy loved her. The guy never said anything. He buys a gift to come and wish her well. And when he got there, he started crying. He said, what's the problem now? You're not happy for me. He said, I'm happy for you. And then started crying deeply, out of pain. He said, but what is going on again? Did anybody do something? Did I do anything to you? And I opened up. He said, so all these years, with all that we have, you didn't know that I love. He said, but you never told me. It has crossed my mind twice that this is the person I would love to marry. You didn't tell me. This is Friday. Tomorrow is my wedding. And you're telling me now. Then she started crying. She was also in pain because she actually wanted him. She preferred him. They were friends. He said, I could tell you anything. You know me now. You never said anything. My parents were asking me, this boy that is always around you. I said, no. He's just like a brother to me. And people have married like that. Then the other guy. I went to a man's office and he was telling me, this lady now has children. 4 kids. Married. And she shows up and then he starts talking. He said, I made a major mistake in my life. I said, what is that? He said, this is my wife. I said, are you crazy? This is somebody's, a married woman. You don't do that. He said, no, pastor, leave that one. No. This is my wife. It was stupidity. I said, what kind of? And the lady then opened up and said, this man, you see, who wear like this? He said, I could take bullet for him. He never said anything. When I got married, I heard that he almost had a heart attack, traveled somewhere where he was in pain. When he finally, I was wondering what was wrong, whether somebody broke his heart, only for him to say it's me. I said, how did I break your heart? Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, tell him. Lord, you know that I read up. Tell him. Hey, Hebrews 13. I think it should be verse 15. Check the verse. Get the correct. Let us constantly bring a sacrifice of praise to God, and that sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You're feeling all that love. If it's not expressed, it doesn't have effect. My father, in training me as a young man, from the time I became a teenager, and he noticed I was always in leadership and, you know, girls kind of around. He said, never you. And I'm beginning to teach my sons the same thing. First one, that's the instruction as he was heading to university. Never you break a young woman's heart. Never you open your mouth and tell a girl you love her if you know you are not serious to take it all the way. Never do that. That's what my dad taught me. So he said also that there is premature exposure of love. I'm not talking about you are my friend, you're all that. No, when it comes to commitment, I'm going to spend my... No, there's premature. Because sometimes we say some things later, we want to change our mind. Don't ever open your mouth if you're not sure. Just be normal friends, just be all that. It is during that you even know whether you want to take this further or not. Hello. You know, because the moment you make it clear, people start pretending. They want to put out their best foot. You are coming to visit the morning. They make up, put up their... No. You need to meet that girl when she just woke up. You know, Lagos is built on fake life. Fake. Everything. This your city is built on fake. It's masquerade, though. Male and female is faking it. Last trip I came here, last month, there's a guy, and he attended the evening meeting. And if you are listening to me, maybe you are here. Sorry, sir. I'm not embarrassing you. But the guy came to find me. He has a nice car. But he said, Pastor, that car, now there I live. All my things are in the boot. He said, I followed you to Ikeja. What you preach there is what made me I came for this evening session. He came here. I'm not going to say any more things. Because when I touched him, I saw the kind of things coming out of his body. Yes. He said, this is where everything is, in this boot. He said, I don't have a single room to myself. I said, and you are driving that kind of car? He said, yes. He said, because the car is needed. It's because of its packaging. And the way he was described, I looked at him, he looked like a bank manager. If you see what he was wearing. I said, but who are you packaging this? Is he your customers or what? He said, no, he's not. He said, he's ladies. He said, Lagos babes. That's how they are. He said, the way I survive in this town, this one, I said, let me just crash for just 7 days, just 1 week. I said, why will you go and sleep in a guest? He said, because I tell them, this traffic, you know, I live in the mainland. I have a very nice house there. But, you know, this traffic of here and going, it drives me crazy. Let me just stay. I will go back on weekend. And one day I will take you to my house. You know, it's really nice. The girl will say, come in. He said, from that one week, I stayed 1 month. He said, I stayed with one girl 1 whole year. He said, I've been living like this for the past 6 years. I said, do you have a wife? No. And you are looking like, no child, no. He said, then one day, they'll get too frustrated. He said, but do you know the truth? I get access to their credit card. They give it to me. They start spending on me because they are hoping that. Then I jump, they kick me out, and the next one, there's another one ready. He said, that's how Lagos girls are. He said, if you show them how you are, really, they'll run away. I said, are you sure? No. And he has done it to church girls. When he meets the ones that are churchy, he will start flowing church. Oh, tongues. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Lord is good. I don't know. Church girl carries a man to her house and is living with him. So come to church, repent. Lord, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. He go back. He said, that's how I get free sex, free food, free accommodation, free everything. I said, so why are you disturbing me since you are getting it? He said, the one I live with now is a mother, is my mother's age. He said, that woman wants to kill me. Please help me. You think what I'm discussing is far? He might be sitting, an example of that might be sitting here, even on the front row. Lagos, fake life. You buy what you can afford to impress people who hate you, who don't care about it. So, get on credit to impress who? If you finally use that fake thing to attract and marry somebody, you're in big trouble, though. But finally, the truth will come out now. You know what marriage does? It removes the masquerade, and now they can see what is behind it. Frustration now starts. Because you built your marriage on false hope. You're supposed to marry a person who is willing to stay with you through thick and thin. Some of you in 2020, fasting time, need to fast some things. If it is addiction to fashion, remove all that hair. 3 months, plait it. Get down back to the earth. You know, there's something called being grounded. That's humility. Get in touch with reality, and you can find yourself back. You can rise up again. Get back in touch with reality. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Get back in touch with reality. Touch the ground. Get back and bear some root. And then the only way you can go now is up. You can't fall again. He that is down needs what? Fast all those nails that are looking like mommy water, whatever. Remove them. Remove them. Just for 3 months. You notice that they are becoming a... Yeah. You are not addicted. You are addicted to vanity. You have to be in the show. You know, the whatever. Red carpet. And be moving around like... You know? Moving around like... Find all those vanity that has clogged to your soul. It's not allowing you to become a real Christian. Tear them off. Remove all that masquerade. Remove those ones on your eyes. It's something with you guys, so get back to. So you can tell yourself the truth, and because there is no other thing, it's to plot from here to your future. Because all that fake life, the number one person that is being deceived is not the people watching, is yours. Want to belong to one useless club or clique? If you can't afford Lakey House, go to Shango today. You can't afford it, go further. You can't afford that, go to mainland. Clap your hand well. Oh. But when you get there, settle down with what you can handle. Then start plotting your graph. People who live in Lekki don't have their heads. I break off the spirit of vanity from your life in the name of Jesus. Okay. So, the thoughts, the heart, the words, and finally, the action. That's where you express it with gifts. That's why he said those 3 times, nobody should show up empty-handed. And actually, if you notice in the case of the lepers, that Jesus said to the men, go show yourself to the priest. If you want to know what they do when they go there, check it up. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a leper there from verse 1 that saw Jesus. He cried. He said, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. And then he stretched his hand and touched him and said, be clean. And the man was healed. Then Jesus said to him, go. The next verse, show yourself to the priest. Look at the instruction. See that you tell no man, but go, show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony. Don't just say, hey, praise the Lord. My wife almost died in childbirth, but God finally intervened. Mother and baby are fine. When you finish, offer the gift that is commanded. It doesn't stop with talk. God so loved that he gave. Is that not John 3:16? God so loved the world that he did what? Now, you can give without loving, but you can't love without what? Giving. You know, when we teach relationship, we teach the 7 tests of love. One of them is the giving test. If the man say he love you, but he can't make sacrifices, he can't make the love is fake. You know, even the Bible teaching about love for one another. Brotherly love in the church. He says, if somebody is in a need, maybe he's a widow or whatever, they kick her out and she's suffering. And she says, sister or whatever. Don't just say to her, I love you. Oh, sister, God will bless you. God will take care of you. Pastor Shola, I hope there is something done for my friends, the widows group and other. All over Dominion City, everywhere, there are activities all over the country. hope here also. So I saw the Ikeja guys. They sent me. They did a kind of. I've forgotten what they call it. They had a name. They gave it. Shop. What? Like a Black Friday kind of thing.
Shop for not, free.
Shop for free. Yes, they did that. I saw the multitude, over 400 orphans, widows, and all of that. So you saw when I was in Lagos, I was always doing that. Yeah. So you don't just tell them, oh, God bless you. God, be filled, be healed, be whatever. No. You do something. You give the person something. You don't have to solve all the problems. Just do a little. Do something. If you can solve it, God has put you in that level. Solve it. Because he said, the Bible now said, put it up. Let them say, let us not love in word, but in deed. Is he telling you not to say anything? No. But he said, back up those words with what? Action. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's how it is with gratitude. Offer for a testimony. You give as commanded. If you check another translation, it says offer. Bring that offering as a testimony. So that's how to do thanksgiving. With the right attitude, a heart of gratitude, with words, songs, praises, all of that. And then finally, with an offering that's befitting the king. I had a morning devotion. Was it Saturday morning? Yeah, it was Saturday morning with my kids because today was also Thanksgiving. So I had bought a cow and a couple of other things that will go. And now I have to be in Lagos. I really wanted to be there myself. It's one service, like prophetic conference. Those are services I don't like to miss in a year. So then I had the devotion Saturday morning. And then we're all dressed in our sportswear and everybody reported. And then I shared some thoughts with them about 3 or 4 psalms of David on Thanksgiving. I was explaining to them why God likes David. I was explaining to them why I go from year to year. They haven't had the occasion to come. Daddy is sick, or daddy broke his leg, or daddy. I said, this is what is God? Because I was on Friday. We finished exercising in the morning. And the sun is hot in Abuja. It comes out early. But I like to get fresh air. So I was outside the house, sitting behind the house. We had some chairs there behind the building. And the building provides shades. So even though the whole place was hot, that place, fresh air was blowing on me. And the building provides me shade. So that's where I was sitting. And Pastor Sarah brought me some or those mixtures they make from the north, all these garlic things to be drinking. You know, I enjoy it, but I have to take it. Yes. So, and I was there just relaxing. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice behind me. I thought she was the one, that maybe she just came back because she has just gone back into the house. I turned, she wasn't there. Ah. So I calmed down. I said, who is that? He said, it's me. I said, oh, Lord, wow. I'm not a beginner in that. You know, when I was a beginner like Samuel, I could run around looking for Eli. No, we have come a long way on that one, learning how to hear from God. So I calmed down. I thought there was going to be a message, Maranatha, or camp meeting, or what you're going to do in 2020. It wasn't about that. He said, are you enjoying the cool air? I said, yes, sir. Are you enjoying the building providing you shade? I say, yes, sir. He said, are you aware how hot it is out there? I said, I'm aware. I just came back. The sun even beat me on our way back from the exercise. I know how hot. He said, what this building is doing for you is what I've been doing for you. I've been the one providing you shade and covering. He said, that's why the heat in your country, what is happening to the economy, what is happening in the environment is not touching you. He said, I protect you from the elements. He said, and that's how it's going to remain even in the last days, with all the things happening in these last days, it will come near you. But you have to learn two things. I know you. I said, what is it? He said, number one, learning to abide in my presence. I said, Lord, I renew that as we go into 2020. And then he said, the other one, remember the art I have taught you, the art of thanksgiving. There, I had my hand. There, of course, Pastor said, I brought my hand down, you know. And I was saying, please, can she just go, Lord? We have not finished this discussion. She asked me one question. I answered her one kind. He asked me, I said, oh, God. I don't know whether she knew anything or what, but she finally left me alone. And I brought out my paper, and I was thanking, and going through all the different things. And then, the Lord now went ahead to give me some clear direction about the future. Initially, it wasn't about that, and I didn't ask. I have those moments. Those are the moments that shape me. So, I don't know. I'm not here to conduct Thanksgiving service. I'm here to help you in the journey into the future. I don't know what you did. You know how some people rumple some money. Yeah. Okay, I sat with my kids. I said, what? This one said, I've been saving money. One of my daughters, he said, some of those money you put, I've been saving them. I put them in my account. That's where I'm planning to give, do Thanksgiving. I said, wow. So okay. Then the other one said, I have this and that for my account. I'm going to do. I told them, specify what is it that you're going to do there. And they were talking. Then the other one, the little one, said, I don't really have any money. I said, I'm not planning to give you either. Because I'm training you so you guys can walk in the kind of favor your father has walked in. I'm not going to give you anything. So what are you going to use to give thanks? He said, but I still have one brand new shoe. I have not worn it. I was reserving it. I said, you mean you're going to give that? He said, yes. I said, the other one started clapping for him. And I kept my word that I'm not going to give them anything. Something now happened. So we now went into discussing those three passwords into God's presence. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving is appreciating God for what he has done for you or what he has done for us. It could be corporate or private. For example, what he did for your family, that's corporate. What he did for your company, that's corporate. What he did for the church, that's corporate. But it has to do with what God did for you. Praise is acknowledging God, appreciating him for his mighty works. Not necessarily what he did for you. For example, his greatness, his wisdom, his works of creation, the beautiful air, the beautiful country he gave. There's so many things. For the rain, for the sunshine. You know, we take that for granted. In praise, you acknowledge God for his mighty works. Then in worship, you worship God for who he is. You see, you thank him for what he has done for you. You praise him for his mighty works. But you worship him for who he is. That's why you need to know this. A worship song is not any song that is slow. So when a song is slow and melodious, we say, oh, worship. No, it's not worship. Check what he's doing, what he's saying. If he's talking about God's nature, God's attributes, God's character, God's beauty, God's glory, that's worship. If he's talking about God's mighty works, God's creative genius, God's wisdom, that's praise. Oh, Lord, my God, When I knew also wonder, consider all the world thy hand has made. Sing it with me. I see the star, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe is great. Then sing my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
What is that?
Because he said, then sing my song, and it's slow, it's melodious, it's sweet. What is it? Worship? It's not worship. What is that? Praise. This is a praise song. You don't have to sing praise. You can say it. Chukwebuka. Chukwebuka. Oh. That's Frank Edward, yeah.
Man come and mess of my she gave me, she got all, you've been so good to me.
Which one is this? Eh? What do you think? Praise, worship, or thanksgiving? It's a praise song, but it has some thanksgiving elements. Remember what Hebrews 13, verse 15 said? The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips, giving what? Thanks to His name. So praise and thanksgiving sometimes are related, but they highlight different aspects of God's work. Okay, I'm looking for Travis Green and this our brother.
You've done so much for me.
I cannot
tell it all. Everybody's saying I reckon anymore.
You are getting A in this class, eh?
If I had 10,000 tons, it still would be enough.
Oh, yeah. What shall I render unto Jehovah? For He has done so very much for me. What shall I render unto Jehovah? For He has done so very much for me.
Yeah.
is that? Eh? Thanksgiving. You don't have to say the word necessarily Thanksgiving to be doing Thanksgiving. As long as you're appreciating what God did for. But you know the other classifications of songs. They are not praise, they are not Thanksgiving, and they are not worship. And you can sing it and be feeling, ooh, you can even lift your hand. You're not even a worship at all. We are heirs of the Father. Sing it.
We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are
one more time.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one.
Which one? Praise or worship or thanksgiving? You are not in any worship. So you sing it in church. Some people say, oh, yeah. You are not worshiping God, though. You are not worshiping God at all. Neither are you praising Him. It's another classification of song. It's congregational song, songs of edification. There are songs we use to affirm the scripture, to push in the word of God into our heart. I know who I am. Sing it. Let me see if he even has any element. You're not being worshipful. What are you doing? This is edification song for the congregation. That song, beautiful, great song, is for our own edification. You're not doing any worship, bro. You have not started, you're just getting blessed. So instead of preaching it and some of those scriptures, we use song to remind ourselves of God's word and edify ourselves, and we get edified, we rise up in the spirit. Why we do that? But you have not started using the password, though. There are even some, like campus fellowship in those days, great songs we created, a lot of them. Hold somebody.
Tell him that you love him. Put your hands
together. Do it,
do it. And praise the Lord.
Everybody can
hold somebody. Tell him that you love him. Lift your hands together and praise the Lord.
Okay, come and hold me.
Hold somebody. Tell him that you love me. Lift your hands together and praise the Lord.
Hold somebody.
Hold somebody. Tell him that you love me. Lift your hands together and praise the Lord.
Give him praise. And they're even gospel entertainments. They're not praise, oh. Neither are they worship. They are jolly, jolly songs to make you. You do party, you do. There are songs you should create for different occasions. You don't have to sing vulgar nonsense, polluting the world to know that you are in music. You can create love songs. A lot of. Do you know that a chapter in the Bible is filled with songs? One book of the Bible is songs. How many of you know that? That one that is dedicated to praise, to worship. What is it called? Psalms. There's another book of the Bible that is all songs. But this one is dedicated to love and emotional connection. And some, a lot of them are written to wife, girlfriend, whatever you like. Who knows the name of that book? Songs of Solomon. So that book tells you it's nothing wrong to write a love song for your wife or spouse or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's different from these ones that are writing. Oh, everything is nonsense. It's all sensuality. As a matter of fact, if I say something, it might shock some of you. In the one in the Bible, they talked about some things about, you know, writing about the girl. Solomon wrote some crazy stuff. That leads me to something I'm about to say. Real worship songs, many a time, are love songs, but they are written for the Lord. When a football team is playing well and they score, what is it that their fans do? They cheer and they praise. And some even have songs. Like Nigerian fans are crazy. I've seen them even in work. They start beating their own music and start dancing and some paint their head, face this, and whatever. When they cheer you up, maybe you're a wrestler, you knock out, or you're a boxer, you knock the other guy, and they cheer you like that, what happens? There is a strange energy that comes. You take the thing to another level. Am I saying something? Even artists, there is an energy they draw from the crowd. That's why studio performance is different from live performance. You know what I'm talking about. When the fan give them that vibe, they cheer them, they are responding to it. The thing climbs to another level. The guy will now. If you want God to, where he already said, I'm only going to do 1, 2, 3. So he can step it to 12. It's praise. When you praise people, you motivate them, activate them to do more. It's something praise does to God. And so, thanksgiving is what I do because of what God has done for me. Now, what about when things go wrong? What about when there are problems? Do I now start complaining and murmuring? No. You don't do that. You make the problem worse because you drive the help of God away. You drive it away. What do? You still do one of these three. Thanksgiving in the face of difficulties or challenges or problems is a sign of the greatest faith in God. That's why Hebrews 13 call it sacrifice of praise. There's now an element of sacrifice because things might be against you, but in the face of it all, you still praise him. That one brings divine intervention like no man's business. An example you can show them, Acts, Paul and Silas. Yeah, you see, therefore, by him, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That one, even when things are going against you, when things have gone bad. Then finally, show them, when Paul and Silas was beaten and thrown into prison, what did they do? The Bible said they prayed and did what? And sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. You know what some of us have been doing? Oh God, why me? Why is all these bad things happening? I was going for evangelism. You know? We're just preaching the gospel. Why? Then you complain and murmur all night and sleep off there, and all the angels will disappear and vanish because they don't hang around such environment. You create an atmosphere of praise, you attract divine intervention. If you watch the next verse, angels came, broke. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. The chains broke. The presence of God came down and released them from prison. I don't want to take the whole story. If you read, the prisoners, God saved. The prison warden and his whole family, God saved. They got baptized that night. The next day, the people that threw them into prison came to apologize to them. Another man in that situation, the thing will turn from one day to 1 month to 1 year, 6 years, 15 years. These guys know how to turn an adversity into an advantage. How to turn a situation that is against them, turn it back. What did Job do? Show them. What did Job do when all his children died? His business, a fire burnt his house. A group of bands came and robbed all his animals. What did he do? When the news came to him, the Bible said, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and did what? And worshiped God. Now, you know why he tore his mantle? He was in pain. He showed that things bubble. He was mourning. That's how the Jews show when they want to mourn. So that they pour ashes on their head. Tear them. He was in pain. He was mourning. You lost all your children in one accident. Things went against you this year. How do you turn it around? That's why I'm here. That's probably the last time you see me till next year. You see me on the other side. 2020. But how do you exit this year? How do you enter next one? He fell on the ground and worshiped God. Next verse. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be what? The name of God. Then one more verse, 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Another translation. Someone say, God. You start saying nonsense. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. I'll tell you a secret. His wife said, curse God and die. A different attitude. What did this attitude get for Job? Chapter 42, show the end of Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. Everyone say double, double.
Double, double.
Say double, double.
Double.
Say double for my trouble. That's what praise. There's also another element he applied towards the end. And he forgave his friends that spoke all sorts of nonsense against him, even prayed for them. That's what that right attitude got for him. Double for all of his troubles. Double. 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 How many people want double for the coming year? How many people want to recover any place where you lost God? How many people want? It's sad for me to say what I'm about to say now, but it's the truth. It's a fact. It happened. That his wife died. Yeah. The one that said, curse God. She died in the midst of all of that. So by the time the double and the resurrection happened, she was not there to enjoy it. Job's new wife gave him back all the children. Exactly what he lost. And then, watch the next verse. Next verse, please. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend, and also the Lord gave him. And then there came unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, comforted him of all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, everyone an earring of gold. One more thing, yeah. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep before he had 7,000. He had 6,000 camel before it was 3,000. He had 1,000 yoke of oxen. He had 500. If you go to chapter 1, you see his assets were listed. Everything is now doubled. He had 1,000 sheep asses. Go on the next verse. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Everything was restored. But watch one more thing. How long he lived. Yeah, go to his age. And this, after this. Everyone say after this. God added to this man 140 years. Some people are begging for 70. This is the jara on top of all the years he has lived, though. 140. And look at what he did. He saw his son's son, even to what? 4 generations. Wow. Clap well, or clap, clap, if you want to. Grandchildren to 4 generations. See, that's what you get. When the devil comes against you, do some things, but your attitude towards God remains the right thing, there will be which guarantee restoration. Isaiah chapter 60 said, God will give you double for all your trouble. And that's what he did here. I believe you got the message. Huh? I believe you got it. So in case you didn't do Thanksgiving, just when they drop one of those ruffles, so go and practice it before the year runs out. Nobody said it must be this morning. You can do it this evening. You can do it next Sunday. Make sure you do it. End this year with the right attitude. A bang of Thanksgiving. And then you start the other one with bang of supernatural favor. Father, we thank you. Just bless him and bless him and bless him. Bless him.